Here we go.
Welcome to BP WrigleyCast, the Cubs podcast where we always try to look at the positive side of things. And we're gonna try to do that tonight for you. I'm joined by Isaac Bennett and Joel Reese, and the Cubs have just lost game three of the NLCS to the Dodgers. Well, we're gonna try to find some bright spots here. I don't know. The offense just can't seem to get it together. The pitching was pretty good at the beginning, kind of tailed off at the end. I don't know, Joel, let's start with you. Let's try. I'm relying on you to bring us up. Give us something. What do you say?
Chris Bryant's seeing the ball pretty well.
There you go.
Hey. Hey.
that painful, huh?
I mean, after, you know, it's funny because, like, I don't know where you start. Like I'm not like on the ledge, but it is. I mean, the thing is like, you know, I know mathematically, yes, they're just down 2-1, and I know that, you know, they've come back and they had, you know, that big comeback the other night, or you know, the Grand Slam and the Red Sox in 2004. There's example after example, but this team just looks. The offense, you know, I know they've scored 8 runs the other night, but, you know, how many runs were driven in by the pitchers in the first round? I think it was 6 of 17 I saw. And
I believe it was all 17 runs, wasn't it?
And they were all by Travis Wood. And, you know, the thing is you can't, it's great that Montero has, you know, had the Grand Slam, and it's great that Baez has kind of emerged, although he had kind of a rough night tonight. And it's great that Chris Bryant is playing well, but you're not going to win if Dexter Fowler and Ben Zobrist and Addison Russell and Jason Hayward and Anthony Rizzo are sucking. And I mean, I guess I just pivoted away from the positive part.
Well, we have to deal with the reality that we're facing.
You know, and they are. I mean, they're Addison Russell is just, I mean, you know, sorry, Isaac, I don't mean to kill your crush here, but he's kind of killing us. That second inning, that was, to me, that second inning was where, you know, they had runners on second and third, what, one out, and they couldn't make it happen. They couldn't get anything across the plate. And I think that was where, you know, you've seen it so many times where pitchers, if they struggle and then they get out of it and they just kind of find the next gear. And that's clearly what happened with Rich Hill.
Well, what's your take, Isaac? I mean, how are you feeling after this game?
Well, I guess it's safe to say that Big Sky Chill Dope Weed Joel is officially gone, right?
He is dead.
We start this with the videos rolling and Joel signs on. Oh my, this is
So it's actually an audio tape of me that he just played, by the way.
It was. So you know what? Honestly, that makes me feel a little bit better about life because it's spinning back in the correct direction, and maybe this political election isn't as bad as we all thought. I don't know. Something. Look, the Cubs are a 7-4 stretch away from winning the World Series. So
okay,
I know the last two. Yeah, the last two games have been frustrating, and there's all sorts of statistical anecdotes about how long it's been since they've been shut out twice. I think it was May of 2014 since they've been shut out twice in a row. But what I saw the last two nights was two really good pitchers pitching really well, which was Clayton Kershaw and Rich Hill. So it's not that shocking to get shut out by those two guys two nights in a row. What I'm currently seeing at the end of this game is an utterly terrible decision by Dave Roberts to pitch Kenley Jansen in a 6-0 game. You know, so he's going to throw his closer 20 plus pitches in a game that is not in doubt. So
I'll take it.
What he's thinking, I have no clue. He got one out in the 8th inning, and he should have been pulled for the 9th for sure.
Wasn't it 5-0 at that point? Because they got 6th in the top of the 9th. I think they got another run in the top of the 9th. So it was 5-0.
Well,
You just get Dodgers so bogged down in the details, Joel.
I know, I'm so minutia.
I mean,
but the bottom line is, yes, that was a, you know, hopefully that'll come back to haunt him. But I think,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just going into the ninth, it was 6-0, and he decided to roll Kenley out there again. I just don't know what he's thinking. I just look. I'd rather not be down 2-1. I'd rather not get shut out 2 games in a row. But Cubs still have a decent chance to win the series. They still have good pitchers coming back around. They could just as easily shut the Dodgers out. I don't feel that bad considering the fact that they just got shut out twice in a row.
You know, it's a good way of putting it. And I think for me, as I was watching this game, I kept thinking to myself, yeah, it's so frustrating. And what do you say? What can you say? You can roll out all these stats and you can throw crazy ideas out there, like you should start bunting. Some crazy people out there believe in that kind of thing. But when it comes down to it, is these are good major league baseball players. They're way above average on this team. And this happens. I've said it before on this podcast. This is baseball. Sometimes you just can't find it. You run into a pitcher that's on a roll and his pitches are working and you just can't quite get a good swing on a ball, which it feels like the Cubs barely did this game. And what can you do but go out the next game and hope for more? I kept thinking to myself, well, what can Joe Maddon do? What should he do? What can he change? What should the players change? And that's not how it works, right? I mean, they played a certain way this season that got them 100 and however many wins they got. And that's what they just have to keep bringing out every game, and next game, try it again. And it sucks because all it is, all right, this is the playoffs. You got a short window of games to try to beat the other team. And if you don't, if your offense can't get it going in those, you know, 5-6 games that you play, you're cooked. And they just have to, the offense just has to come around or else they'll be gone.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the thing that's frustrating, though, is that you don't see – I mean, I know Isaac's exactly right that the Cubs just need to win, what, if they go, you know, 7-0 here or 7-4, as you said, then they've won the, you know, they've won the World Series. But it's hard to envision that when
right.
everyone looks so tight at the plate and you've got – two guys who were hitting, and you know, as of tonight, it's now down to one guy. And all the guys who, you know, the reason they brought in when they signed Hayward, it was this guy's going to work the count. He's going to drive pitchers crazy with his hitting. And Zobrist is going to bring his experience.
I knew Hayward was going to get bombed.
I figured it's not even worth it. But you know, and it's the same with Zobrist. He's going to bring the postseason experience. He's going to bring, you know, that kind of veteran savoir faire. He's going to work the count. And he had made 3 outs on 7 pitches tonight. That drove me crazy. So I think Isaac is right that yes, that is, you know, numerically that's where they stand as far as the games go, but it's just frustrating to see them struggling so much. And it's hard to envision them just turning it around when, you know, clearly they could, but you don't see it logically.
I mean, I guess another way to look at it is they just have to win one more game to guarantee going back to Wrigley.
Mm-hmm.
So win one more of the next two and you get to go back to Wrigley. Hey, at least we're not the Blue Jays right now.
Yeah, you've got Lackey and Lester needing to win one to get back to Wrigley, and then you're going to have Kyle and Jake back in Wrigley if that happens. So the other thing I look at is, okay, you face Clayton Kershaw 2 nights ago, and Javi Baez was like 8 feet from putting a 2-run homer over the wall. Kershaw thought it was gone. I think everybody in the ballpark thought it was gone, but he hit it to dead center in a night where the ball wasn't carrying. So, you know, Dodgers win. So that's baseball. And, you know, a 16th of an inch on his bat, and that's a game-winning home run from Baez. Right. And this is, even tonight, we're probably shrugging this off as saying, it's still 2-1, Cubs, no big deal. So it's... I mean, we're 10 feet from having a completely different perspective of this. And I do realize that some of these guys have struggled, but you're looking at a really small sample against a lot of really good pitching. And I think that, I don't know. I just have a tendency to think that the emotions of these things swing too viciously, both in the negative and the positive. And
I would agree with that.
I just see a team that's fully capable of coming out and winning 3 out of 4 with, you know, they're going to have 4 really good pitchers on the mound. And I'm excited to see what happens still.
Yeah. So let me ask you guys this. And Isaac, I think you just gave your answer there, but maybe not. Do you make big changes to the lineup? Do you put Contreras in left and sit Zobrist and maybe Almora in right? And, you know, Baez at second, and or maybe Zobrist at second and Russell goes to the bench and Baez plays short. I mean, I'm just throwing potential things out there. Or do you guys just keep it pretty much status quo?
I mean, I keep it pretty much status quo. I actually wanted to see Contreras catching tonight because, in my opinion, yes, Montero is a better receiver, and I think he handles Jake a little bit better. But Jake, when people get on base, he needs Contreras' arm behind because he's so slow to the plate mm-hmm. that I really feel like Contreras' arm controls the running game. And I wanted to see another big right-handed stick in there instead of Montero, which pretty much felt like automatic outs against Rich Hill. So I wanted to see Contreras in there tonight, but In general, my answer for you is the status quo. I want to see the best team on the field based on the matchup, and that can vary a lot based on the matchup. Tomorrow, it's going to be Urias. So it's, you know, I think you're going to see your lefties back in there. Hayward will be back in there. And I imagine that Zobrist will be in left. Hayward will be in right. Baez will be at second. And I think it goes from there. And I think that's the right thing to do.
Who do you see? Who do you think is going to be behind the plate?
I think Contreras will be behind the plate tomorrow.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Chris, what do you think? Do you think you change the lineup at all, or just kind of keep it?
I pretty much agree with Isaac. I mean, I was thinking about this, and I think what Isaac said is true, that our emotions tend to swing wildly, disproportionately to what's happening. And when I was coming up with, you know, in the midst of the panic, well, what radical changes could the team make to change the outcome? And that's not the way Joe Maddon's going to approach this. He's not going to panic. He's going to just go through that same measured process that he's gone through for each lineup he's, you know, filled out. And it's going to be the guys that he wanted there last game and this game and the game before in the postseason. So I think that's the way to go. I mean, to go out there and put Almora in there for the sake of, well, he still hasn't, you know, he hasn't been in there going 0-17. So let's try this. Reeks of just, you know, fear and panic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there's something to be said for defense here too. Now, I'm not insinuating Elmore is a downgrade defensively, but if you pull out Russell, you know, because of his bat, there's definitely a counterbalance to that, which is your defense is going to struggle because of that. I think you need Russell and Baez up the middle. I think you still need Zobrist's bat in the lineup. Rizzo is Rizzo. He's got to be in there. I'd like to see Contreras tomorrow, I think. So, look, man, it's a team with a whole bunch of good players, and they've come a very long ways. And you know what? It was never going to be easy. There was always going to be some adversity here. And the thing is if they get through this series now facing this adversity, I think it actually increases their chances to win the World Series having faced what they're facing here. So I don't mind saying it. It's a young team. You know, they come back and beat a 20-year-old tomorrow. They've got a 38-year-old veteran on the mound, or however old Lackey is, you know, against a 20-year-old kid making his first huge start of his career. I like the Cubs' chances tomorrow, and then you're back to 2-2, and everybody feels good again.
Well, so. I do too. I mean, I see your points, but to play devil's advocate here, which is a role I'm very the negative.
We hired you for that.
Debbie Downer, devil's advocate. You know, Lackey didn't exactly kick ass his last outing, and he's a righty. You know, in that against that lefty heavy lineup of the Dodgers, so. You know, I don't know. I don't have the same confidence necessarily. I mean, I do feel good about the Cubs, that the Cubs offense will find its gears tomorrow. But I'm not quite as optimistic about Lackey mowing him down as, you know, like I say, Lester. Although that's, you know, obviously not. But still, Lackey does make me a little nervous.
Well, I don't want to draw this out any more than we already have, but I think the tomorrow's a big game, and I think early, the first 3-4 innings of tomorrow are going to be huge in that if the Cubs pitchers, you know, if they can keep the Dodgers off the board, and if they can just put a run or two up early and just kind of change the momentum of, I mean, all the momentum of today's game was totally on the Dodgers side. If they can just tweak that early on, I think, and especially against a young guy like Urias, I think that's what I'm waiting to see, and that'll be a good sign of things to come. I think that they have to get some offense, obviously, and that's what I'm looking for.
I do think it's important to come out and have some really good plate appearances early against him, and just even if you manufacture a run and push something across, like you said, just anything to tilt that momentum back in the Cubs' favor, I think is huge, especially against a young guy that might get rattled. And I've been very impressed with him and his poise, but this is different. This is different. So you push a run or two across in the first or second inning, and I think that the series momentum could turn really quickly.
Yeah, and I think you said it. Maybe not necessarily runs, but good plate appearances, solid contact, smart offensive baseball. That alone can help start to turn the tide into, all right, guys, we can do this. Let's go.
Yep, that's correct, guys.
All right, well, I think that's all we got for tonight. We'll see everybody again tomorrow, right?
That's right.
Get some sleep, and let's talk about a win tomorrow night.
Yeah.